Well, applying the story, I'll read that here. Regarding this Thanksgiving, and judging by what we hear from high-profile health officials, it appears we're faced with a choice between risking our health and that of our family members, or foregoing Thanksgiving gatherings altogether and hoping for better choices when Thanksgiving 2021 comes around. Does it strike you that there's something very biblical in those circumstances? Hope itself is a major theme in the Bible. Hope is a projection of our goals and desires into the future, trusting in God. Likewise, restoration is a biblical theme, which can include a return to normality or the way life was before the pandemic. Hope and restoration are the tomorrow factor in the Bible. Tomorrow is the stuff of prophecy. The days are coming when, proclaim the prophets. Such prophecies were often uttered during dark and dismal days in Israel's history, when not only the present but also the future looked bleak. But tomorrow was one way the prophets kept Israel's faith alive. In biblical terms, tomorrow, the future, the time has not yet arrived, is the assurance that the present is never the end of the story. It proclaims that the darkness of today will not survive into tomorrow. Tomorrow is one of the key understandings for Christianity, too. We explain it something like this. When you embrace the way of Christ, you enter the kingdom of God, which is already here in some ways, but you also inherit the hope of the kingdom to come, where God's love and power will have full sway, where all wrongs will be righted, and where there will be neither sorrow nor suffering anymore. So our discussion really for today is talking about that idea of tomorrow and how that helps us through how we're going through what we're going through today. So the first question here is, well, first off, let's start with this question. What is normal? What is normal? Because I think that's a critical part of this, is because I hear everyone say, boy, I'd love to go back to normal. What is
that? It's a perception.
Okay.
There is no such thing as normal.
There you go.
Yep.
I think
normal is different, though.
Everybody's normal is going to be different by their own perception.
Yep. How does having that idea of I just can't wait till we go back to normal, it's not a very helpful thought. In what way is that not a helpful thought? Or it's actually not that hopeful. As I think about that, because I hear a lot of people say, boy, I just can't wait to go back to normal.
It's false hope.
Okay. False hope. What happens if normal actually wasn't good?
I would go back to normal if it wasn't good.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But, from a biblical perspective, I'm wondering if, as a Christian, it's better to live with maybe God may be developing a new normal that may be even better than what we define normal to be in the past. I don't think Jesus, like, for example, what do you think Jesus' normal was? I don't think Jesus ever had a normal. No. He never lived in a house. He never, the kingdom was active and alive wherever he went, whether that was in Samaria or Judea or Galilee. This was his headspace. And so I think we think normal is, you know, comfort, and I can go back to my comfort. So Jesus never had a normal. It's kind of an interesting discussion. I just wanted to throw that out there as we begin. Now, the first question here is, for what are you thankful for this year? And this is a really interesting question. What impact, if any, have the present circumstances, including not gathering for worship, had on your faith in God? Why? So what impact has had not gathering for in-person worship had on you and your faith? Again, we sometimes think that peace has been really cautious and hasn't done a lot. Most of the congregations in the Midwest of the United States are not worshiping right now. They are not worshiping. So what effect does, and you notice that when this shares the, these questions, it takes that, it says that. It says, you know, how have the present circumstances, it just takes that as a fact, not gathering for worship. Had on your faith. Anyone want to share thoughts on that?
I would.
Yeah.
But I have to get my thoughts together and they're all scattered. One thing with Stella, as she slips further and further into her dementia, she has always come to church with me as when we had it and as much as she could. I have noticed that as she slips, she is becoming inner. She's moving in on herself more. She said one day, it would be so nice to go to church. She misses the people. And even though she doesn't recognize many people anymore, she felt the presence of people being kind to her, I guess. And now she's quite isolated and she's slipping a lot faster. For myself, I have been very blessed by everybody in the church because it's hard to keep on keeping on when the physical part of it is gone. I think for me now, one of the best things that has happened is the Zoom meeting. And even though I struggle with it, at least I could get on it and see all your smiling faces, which is really a blessing for me. I've struggled because I know I'm a people person, but I didn't know how much of a people person I was until all this hit. And it's been difficult. So.
Well said. Really well said.
Thank you.
Well, Pastor, I would have thought about that. I read that question and I realized that somebody thought about our Easter service and it was going to be overflowing. And that's when somebody came up with, well, fortunately, it might have been Aaron. Why don't we just videotape it and put a signal into the fellowship hall? And with that preparation, it kind of led us into being able to do the Facebook. So I'm really thankful for Aaron and his talent and all the other people that have supported, coming in and doing the preparation and singing and the videotaping. I just think it's God had his hand on us because of we were worried about overcrowding for Easter. And then now we're reaching, I looked this morning and there was one at 498 clicks, or whatever that means, on a Facebook. That's a lot. But we can only hold about 140, I guess, easily in our sanctuary, and then we move on into the fellowship hall. So I think we really have the opportunity to, well, I'd love to get back into in-person service with precautions, of course, but at the same time, continue to reach out to these other people that are tuning in.
Great.
It gives us a little insight on how housebound people feel. And maybe will make me better at reaching out to them. I don't know.
I do think that needing to use Zoom makes us more deliberate in what we're doing. I mean, in your own home, it's different than getting up on Sunday morning and putting on nice clothes and going to church. This is deliberate in a different way. And so in that way, I think it has a lot of benefit. The thing that I fear, though, are the people that are not here, that were always in Sunday school every Sunday. And so we have a good friend, Sharon Starr. She is probably the most, I don't even know what word to use for her. She's one of the most devout people I know.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to get on her computer. So therefore, she's not doing this. So one of the things on Rick's list, when you get to it, is to reach out to her and try to figure out some way to help her figure out how to connect. I mean, she's not a technology person. She admits that totally. But she's not the only one. When I think about all the people that were in Sunday school every Sunday morning, and how many of us are here now, I am sad because I just feel like, you know, there's a little gaposis there, and we need to figure out how to bridge that little gap. And if it means sending out some young people to sit down with somebody or trying to do some kind of a class that people can come to learn how to bring their computers to the church, log in, and teach them how to use Zoom, then that's the other thing that I think we should really think about, which is not part of the question. So I apologize for that.
No, that's okay. That's okay. Well, I think what's behind that, I think that is an answer to the question, Kathy, because what's behind that is, where are people?
Really?
We miss people. That's what you're saying.
That is true. We do miss people.
We have made our church as accessible as possible. Mm-hmm. Maybe the technology is a fear for some people. I've heard that from many of our older members.
Right.
And that's been a block for them to participate in something like this.
Right.
And so, very much so. That's a really good thought. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Yeah. Anybody else want to share?